Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday, May 12th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'm joined by my good buddy here, Cole Sheldon, to break down UFC Jacksonville. And we'll also talk about UFC 249. If you guys missed the podcast yesterday, go back and listen to that. I recapped the whole event, every fight in the card. Man, what a great card, Cole. But I'm going to talk about that with you a little bit later, because I want to start with UFC Jacksonville, the preview here. So we got 11 fights in the card. Just overall thoughts on this card. I mean, obviously, it was thrown together pretty last minute, but what do you think about this as a fight night card?
Yeah, it's honestly, I see people like, oh, it doesn't compare to 249. You weren't going to get 249 was their first fight bags pay per view. This is like an average fight night card. You got Smith to share, which is a good headliner. You got some really interesting fights like Dober Hernandez, Borg Simone. I'm really interested in the Carl Robertson Vittori. And then I really want to see what Philip Weens looks like at the UFC against Arlovski. Like, there's some interesting matchups. There's some fighters that have some names, recognizable names. Overall, like, you can't complain. This is a pretty good fight night card, especially if you're a Wednesday night to put it on. To get two fight nights in a week, like, they're pretty good.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. You can't compare it to 249. That was a pay-per-view. You're paying money for it. The UFC really stacked the deck. And we'll talk about that card in a little bit, Cole, because, man, like, the numbers have come out yesterday for both the pay-per-view numbers and also the salary. So definitely a lot to talk about there. So we'll get to that after, but I want to start with the preview for this card. And, you know, for me, looking at the card, it's decent. You know, it's nothing great. Obviously, I'm going to watch. I'm excited for it. I got to admit, I'm a little bit more excited for the three-hour Survivor finale tomorrow, Cole. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to watch both, but I'm really excited to see if Tony can actually win this. So that's what I'm going to look forward to even more tomorrow. But I am going to obviously watch this card. It's my job, and I love watching MMA. And it's a decent card. You know, if on paper, it's not great, but it's decent. But like I said, they threw it together last second, man. So you kind of get what you get, you know. I'd rather watch this card than no card at all. I'll tell you that right now. It's not that bad. It's like an average fight night card, Cole. Let's get into it right now. All right. Start with the first fight of the night. It's a heavyweight bout, Cole, between UFC newcomer Ike Villanueva and former UFC veteran Chase Sherman, who's making his return to the octagon on short notice. And so is Villanueva. He was signed like 2 weeks ago. Very short notice fight here. Chase Sherman right now is actually a minus 160 favorite. Ike Villanueva plus 140. Sherman actually opened as a small underdog, so the line's flipped with Sherman as the favorite now. And what do you think about the odds for this one, Cole?
Yeah, I think Sherman probably deserves to be the favorite just because of his name, but I like Ike Villanueva in this fight. Just if you look at Villanueva, how he loses by submission. That is not going to happen with Chase Sherman. Chase Sherman is a stand-up guy. He's been in BKFC. And the way Sherman loses is by knockout. Villanueva knocks out basically everyone he fights, and he knocks him out quick. Like, he knocked out Rashad Coulter in the first round, who's a UFC vet. He knocked out two guys. He knocked out Roger Navarez in 28 seconds, Juan Torres in 3 minutes. Like, he knocks everyone out in the first round. He has a ton of power. I think as an underdog, I really like Villanueva in this spot. And just because he doesn't have to worry about the ground against Chase Sherman. Chase Sherman does not have a good ground game. I don't expect this one to go to the ground. And just with this one, it's really kind of low-level heavyweights. Don't really know what's going to happen. So just give me the plus money and like Villanueva.
Yeah. No, again, me and Cole do not talk about these fights beforehand. So we don't have any insight into what each other's thinking here. I don't even bother looking at Cole's article on SBD because I don't want to see what he picked. I want this to be a surprise. And once again, we're going to pick the underdog to open up the card here, Cole, because I'm going to go with Ike Villanueva too. This is a pure fade on Chase Sherman. He's just not that good of a fighter, in my opinion. You know, nice guy and everything. Like, really like him. You know, James has interviewed him a bunch of times, and I think he follows me on Twitter too. He's a cool guy. Like, but that chin, you know, he's been knocked out too many times, Cole. This Villanueva guy's got quite a bit of power. He's on a nice little roll here. He's actually been fighting a little bit more consistently. I know Chase has had some bare knuckle fights a little bit recently, but he hasn't fought an MMA fight in like a year. So, you know, it's a big difference between BKFC and UFC, obviously. So this is a pure fade on Sherman. I was not impressed by him during his UFC run. I know he had some wins outside the UFC, but really low-level guys. I think the guys Villanueva beating, they're not great, but they're okay. Like Roger Narvaez, former UFC fighter, Cole, like he wasn't that bad, you know? So those are decent wins for me. I don't see this fight going three rounds. I think it's going to end pretty quick, probably in the first round, maybe the second round. I don't see it going full three. So my pick's going to be Ike Villanueva plus 140. It's a pure value pick because I do think he should actually be slightly favored just as a fade on Chase Sherman. It should be around a pick on both a slightly into Villanueva. So I think the money's coming on the wrong side here, but I could be wrong. I mean, it's heavyweight, right? So you saw last week what happened with the Olenek and Verdun fight. Like, you're better off just taking a shot in the dark on the dog. That could be the case here, and that's what I'm thinking happened. So my pick is Villanueva +140. But, you know, also I do think the fight ends inside the distance. That's -275, Cole. That's not a bad price because, you know, most heavyweight fights are like -500 for fight ending inside the distance. I'm assuming you're thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I think it probably ends pretty early for a second round.
Me too, I agree. So my picks full New Haven, so it's Cole's. This gets to some comments here quickly. Turn it up, MMA. Adam and Cole, what's up, gentlemen? What's going on, bro? Thanks for joining us. Kenshiro Ward Dojo, I like Wednesday UFC. Didn't I ask for this a few months ago? You did. I remember you mentioned that, Kenshiro. But to be fair, I mean, a lot of people were saying they're going to have to double up in events just because they're behind right now on their schedule. But it's good. I mean, I have no problem with the Wednesday card. They used to do this back in the day. Like a few years ago, they had a few cards. There was a fight for the troops event that had Tim Kennedy against Rafael Natal. Also, a Ryan Bader versus Glover Teixeira Wednesday card. So Glover's fought on Wednesday before. This is not new for Glover. We'll talk about him in a few minutes. Kenshiro, if you got a dollar, don't waste a bet on Chase. Bet on the other or the other guy. I kind of disagree. I think there is value on Villanueva, but again, it's a heavyweight fight, low level heavyweights. Who knows? I'm gonna try saving the comments though till after we do the preview. So let's get to keep going on this preview call. So next fight, bantamweight bout, Brian Kelleher versus Hunter Azure. Interesting fight here. Right now we got Hunter Azure -190 and Boom Boom Brian Kelleher +165. Give me your pick, Cole.
It's actually a featherweight bout. Topology has it wrong. It's okay. Right, it's short notice.
They're both
bantamweights, but they're just fighting at 45. They only got 2 weeks notice. I understand. I'm surprised the UFC hasn't done more of this. They both can't. It's kind of interesting. They both DM'd each other saying, hey, let's fight at 45 on one of these short notice cards. So that's kind of how the fight came together. It's an interesting fight. Kelleher obviously has more UFC experience. He's really dangerous on the ground. Saved his job last time at 246. The really nice submission over Ode Osborne. But I have to favor Hunter Azure here. I've just been impressed. The Brad Katona win, I picked Katona win. That one, I was pretty high on Katona. And Azure just dominated that fight. And Azure's really good everywhere. He's really good on the ground, so I don't think Kelleher will be able to submit him. And he has a lot of power. He might be able to catch Kelleher. We've seen Kelleher get knocked out before. And with Kelleher's career, like, he kind of beats the guys he should beat, like Ode Osborne, Damon Stasic, Hen Barrow. But he loses to those top guys like Montel Jackson, John Lineker, Marlon Vera. I think Asher's on that level. He's going to be a ranked guy soon. I think he gets past Kelleher. I don't think he's going to be able to finish Kelleher, but I'll pick Azure by decision.
Yeah, interesting fight. I mean, Brian Kelleher is a pretty good fighter. He's pretty underrated, if you ask me. The last fight, Ode Osborne beat him. He was the favorite in that fight. Osborne was. I thought that Osborne would win, and Kelleher surprised me there. But I know he's a decent fighter because I have picked him a few times, like against Brown. I had him there. Alcantara fight surprised him a few years ago. He's also got some other good wins, like Julio Arce twice. He's got two wins over him, so that's a nice win. You know, stylistically, this fight is interesting because obviously I think Azure's going to try to get this fight to the ground, Cole. I think he's going to use his wrestling. But Kelleher obviously has that guillotine choke that, you know, you can finish a guy. He can catch you in the neck and just tap you out. So it's an interesting fight. I do see it hitting the ground, but I feel like Azure's going to stay on top of Kelleher for three rounds and just kind of grind on him, Cole, and win the decision. So my pick's going to be Hunter Azure by decision. I have been impressed with the guy. He looked good in Contender Series. He looked good against Katona. I think he's a pretty damn good fighter. So I think his wrestling is going to win out here, Cole. I'm going to pick him by decision. I think that's what you had too. You have him by decision?
Yep.
Okay, so that's good there. All right, next up we got a lightweight bout. I think it's lightweight, right?
Yeah.
Never know these weight classes on short notice. I think it's lightweight, though. Gabriel Benitez, who's fought a lot of 145-pound fights, going to take on Omar Morales here. The odds have Morales -175 and Benitez +155. Give me your pick, Cole.
I'm going Omar Morales. It's a really interesting fight. Benitez has obviously fought the higher level competition. Like, his last fight was against Sadiq Youssef. He had success in that fight until he got knocked out late in the first round. He's knocked out Humberto Badene, beat Jason Knight, beat Sam Cecilli. He's fought like Enrique Barzola, Andre Feely. Like, he's fought a lot of tough guys, but Omar Morales, he's undefeated. And he's really impressed me. His fight on the Contenders against Harvey Park. I thought Harvey Park was going to win that one. I was really high on Harvey Park in LFA. And then his last one, Dung Ho Ma, he really just dominated that fight. I think Morales, at 34, though, he's kind of an older prospect, which is, it's kind of now or never if he's going to make a run, especially at lightweight. I think he could catch Benitez. I think he can knock out Benitez probably later in the fight, second or third round.
Yeah, it just shows how hard it is to get to the UFC because he's been fighting since 2011, Cole, and he's now 34. He started when he was 25, so he was decently young when he started, finally made to the UFC at an older age. But I've been impressed with the guy. He looked good against Park. He looked good against Dong Young Ma. I mean, he probably should have knocked him out because Ma's chin is not very good, but still getting the win there's solid, and obviously he's undefeated in his career. Trains at Hard Knocks, Cole, so he's training with some good guys. He's definitely an impressive fighter. I mean, this is a guy that Bellator had a few years ago. They let him go for whatever reason. They just had him on a one-fight deal, I guess. But he's definitely a solid fighter. I've been impressed with him. Good striking, good knockout power. Benitez is pretty solid, too, for sure. A lot of experience, more experience. 21-7, a little bit younger, 31. He's been in the UFC for a few years now. He was a tough one guy. He's had some nice wins in the UFC. Jason Knight was a good win for him. Humberto Badenape knocked him out. Sam Cecilia, solid win. So he's had some decent wins. But, you know, when he gets knocked out, when he loses, he's been knocked out a couple times. Yusuf in his last fight. Andre Fili. So, you know, to be fair, this guy's been mostly losing to like higher level guys. So it's an interesting matchup because I'm not going to completely write off Benitez here. I do think he can win the fight, probably by decision, but I'm going to have to lean towards Morales a little bit just because the undefeated record, he's been a little bit hotter lately, a little bit more momentum coming in this fight considering he's coming off a win streak. And I'm going to pick him to win a decision here, possibly by knockout as well because Benitez has been KO'd. So interesting fight, but my pick's going to be Omar Morales. Next up, we got a women's bantamweight bout, Sarah Morris against Yara Eubanks. Right now, we got Sarah Eubanks. She's the biggest favorite on the card. Minus 370, Morris plus 310. Give me your pick, Cole.
Yeah, you just – my pick's Sarah Eubanks, but don't even bet this fight. These are – Sarah Eubanks – no world should Sarah Eubanks be this big of a favorite. She's 4-4 in her last fight against Beth Correa. That's a fight she needs to win. Like, Aspen Ladd, okay, that's a – that's a respectable loss, but she has some good wins like Roxanne Modafferi, Lauren Murphy. That's a really good win, especially what Lauren Murphy's done at flyweight. Like, it's so weird. I have a tough time picking Sarah Eubanks because she loses to girls she should beat, like Beth Correa, but then she beats people like Roxanne Modafferi and Lauren Murphy that I don't expect her to beat. She's her three losses, like, or three of her losses, Aspen Ladd twice and Kaitlyn Chookagian. You can't blame those. She's fought high level competition. I think Eubanks is just going to out-wrestle Sarah Morris and then probably ground and pound, might even be able to score a TKO win. I'm not very high on either of them, so I wouldn't bet this fight at all.
Yeah, Eubanks, okay, first off, she's 35, Cole, so she's not really a prospect anymore. The problem with her was she was actually really impressive on tough. We were all impressed by her performances there, but couldn't make that 125-pound weight class consistently. And 135, I don't think she's good enough to be a contender in this division. 5'3", Cole, she's really small. You know, she's not a big fighter, so, you know, I haven't been too impressed with her outside of tough because look at her pro record, 4-4. It's not great. You had the tough fights, yeah. She had three wins in the house, so 7-4. And you can count those as pretty decent victories. You know, Modafferi, Bennett, those are decent wins. And she has shown some ability in the UFC, obviously. But the last two fights, losing to Betch Correa, really? Like, Betch is someone, is a gatekeeper. You have to beat Betch, you know, and she goes in there and loses a decision. And it wasn't a very good performance. The Ladd fight, I'll give her a pass on that one. Ladd's great, but Betch, really? You got to beat her. So that's why I can't bet on her, even though I think she beats Morris, because Morris, you know, she hasn't been impressive with me at all in the UFC. She did save her job in the last fight with that win over Juja, but that's a fighter who is new to the UFC and really probably shouldn't have been in that position anyways. Before that, she had lost three straight fights. She's lost to some fighters she should have beaten, like Bernardo and Puna Lover. Those are fighters not in the UFC anymore. So, you know, this is probably her last chance, Cole. I mean, she loses this fight, I see her getting cut. And she saved her job in the last fight, but don't think it happens here. You know, fellow Canadian, you know, I got a lot of respect for Sarah. She's kind of like a trailblazer for women's MMA up here. And I remember she talked to James like maybe 2 years ago, and she's like, you know, I'm going to quit my job at Canada Post delivering mail to be a full-time fighter. And I don't know how well that's worked out for her. You know, I hate to say that, but, you know, I think she's like 1-3 in her last four, right? So hopefully she can get that jaw back at some point, because if she loses this fight, Cole, I think she does get cut, unfortunately. So my pick's going to be Zahara Eubanks to win a decision here. Morris is pretty tough. Maybe he gets finished, but she's pretty tough. That's going to be my pick. But yeah, it's going to hurt seeing Sarah gone, because honestly, Cole, at this point, there's like no Canadians left in the UFC, and you're probably going to lose another one after this fight. I'll take a couple of comments here. Turn up MMA. I agree with Cole. Azure all day. Yep, me too. It's your Eubanks will miss weight at bantamweight. It's possible. Did she
already made? She already made it.
Sorry, Kishir, you're wrong on that one, buddy. It's okay, though. I thought Ray Borman missed weight this morning. He made weight, apparently. So we'll talk about the weight in a second. It's kind of ongoing right now. Actually, I should have mentioned that. The weigh-ins are actually on right now, which is a great time for me and Cole to do this. So if someone misses weight, we'll know. I know one guy missed weight, Carl Robertson. We'll talk about him in a few minutes. Don't want to get to that yet. But Eubanks, according to Cole, has made weight. So good for her. But you better make weight. I mean, come on. You miss weight 125, fair enough. But 135, you can't do that. That's like a Ray Borman, man. All right, Cole, next fight. Lightweight bout, Michael Johnson against Thiago Moises. Pick him, minus 110 apiece. So close fight, the odds. What do you think?
I don't get this line. I think one person should be favored. Maybe I'm not seeing it right, but I think Michael Johnson wins this fight. I think he wins it rather easily. He's back up to lightweight, which I like. I didn't like featherweight at all for him. I don't think he was that good at featherweight. His obviously last fight was a really close one against Stevie Ray. I thought he beat Stevie Ray. That was a really close fight. Terrell Moses, I just don't think he's on that level. Like, he lost to Demir Ismagula. He beat Kurt Hollibaugh, who's not out there. Lost to Benil Dariush. He doesn't really have any huge named wins. Obviously beat Jamal Emmers on the regional scene, which is good. But Michael Johnson's fought all top guys. He has a win over Tony Ferguson. He has a win over Dustin Poirier, a knockout over Poirier. Has one over Edson Barboza. He's a guy that's fought the best of the best. I think this is a fight where he can have success, and I think he can knock out Thiago Moises as well.
Yeah, this is an interesting fight. Moises actually opened as the favorite. And I know when that happened, you messaged me right away, Cole, and you were like, whoa, I didn't expect that. That was at the original card, I think, right? Wasn't this supposed to be on 249 or something like that? Or I know that maybe Morales was supposed to fight Johnson. Yeah. Either way, Johnson's been kind of getting the shaft from the odds makers. But, you know, Cole, he hasn't been very impressive lately. The two straight losses to Ray and Emmett. But if you look closer at those fights, the Josh Emmett fight, he was winning that fight 2-0 and then got KO'd late in the third round by a Josh Emmett bomb. I mean, it's going to happen, right? Josh Emmett's got a lot of power. And the Steve Ray fight really could have went either way. You know, it's a fight he should have won. It should have been a lot more clear, but he did lose the fight. It was close, though. But like you said, Cole, I mean, you look at who this guy – he's fought everyone that's good, Cole. He's fought the best of the best, man. Good wins, Barboza, Poirier. Feely's a good win. Ferguson. I mean, those are some solid wins. He's been around the block for a while, man. He's never really, like, become that contender that some was thought might have been. But definitely, like, a really solid gatekeeper. He's the kind of guy you got to beat to move up the rankings here. The 145 experiment didn't work out very well for him, Cole. But I think back at 155, he'll be a lot more competitive. Because if you look at his last couple losses there, look who he lost to, Cole. Gaethje and Khabib and Nate Diaz. And even Dariush, that was a close fight, too. So, I mean, this guy's competitive mostly. He did lose to the best of the best, but it's going to happen. Moises, he's not bad. I mean, he's a little bit younger. He's 25, so, you know, he's got the youth on his side. He has looked impressive at times. I was in Brazil for that fight last year against Hollibaugh, and he beat the crap out of Kurt Hollibaugh. And I really like Kurt Hollibaugh, and he beat him up really good. And I was surprised by how dominant he was. But the Demir fight and the Dariush fight, he kind of got beat to the punch there. And like you said, Cole's best win's Emmers, who's like an okay fighter who lost his UFC debut. That's his best win. And I guess Hollibaugh, a guy who never won a fight in the UFC, and I like him, but he never did. So, you know, you can't just go based on wins and losses, but you can go based on level of competition. There's no doubt Michael Johnson's fought better fighters. He fights really close to where he's training now at Hard Knocks in Florida, so it's a close drive for him, and he'll have his probably, you know, regular team there and stuff. Don't know about Moises, no idea what's going on with him in his camp. I think go either way, Cole, honestly, because I think Moises could possibly just wrestle him. Michael Johnson has good takedown defense, but he could get taken down here. I'm not going to bet on it, Cole. I'm not as confident as you, but I think you got to go with Michael Johnson here just because he should probably be favored. Just you got to give the guy some respect. He's been around the UFC a long time. He's fought the best of the best. He should be a little bit favored in this fight. So as a pick-em, I got to side towards Michael Johnson, the menace here. I just am not confident as much as you, Cole, because he hasn't looked very good lately. And even moving up in weight, it still could be a poor performance by him. I really have no idea. So that's going to be my little breakdown of that fight. Next fight, we got heavyweight bout Nicole's looking forward to between Andre Arlovsky and Phillip Lienz making his UFC debut here. Phillip Lienz, -160. The pit bull, Andre Arlovsky, +140. Give me your pick, Cole.
Yeah, this is a really interesting fight. Obviously, Phillip Lienz won the 2018 PFL heavyweight tournament, so he's obviously a millionaire from that. But it's kind of interesting. He's been a guy that he was supposed to fight this last PFL tournament against Sato Ishii, and then he just – I don't know what happened. He got hurt, and then I guess – PFL just released him because he signed the UFC. I think it's a good sign for the UFC. What's interesting about this fight is they both train at ATT, which is kind of interesting because I don't know what coach they're working with or how they split that up. But I have to pick Phillip Lienz. This is just another fade on Arlovsky. Lienz has a ton of power. I know he hasn't fought since the end of 2018, that New Year's Eve 2018, but Arlovsky's last fight was a quick knockout to Rosenstruck. Before that was the win over Rothwell, which was not a good fight. I just think Lienz has the power where you can catch Arlovsky and knock him out. And at these odds, I still think there's some value on Lienz as well.
Yeah, so Lienz opened at, let me just double check that, a little bit bigger, -205. So the odds have actually dropped a little bit, which surprises me a little bit because, you know, at this point, you got to fear Arlovsky based on the age, 41 years old, and based on the damage. I mean, this guy gets knocked out a lot coming off a quick knock loss to Jairzinho. I know he had a little streak there of not getting knocked out for a while, Cole, but this is a guy who's been knocked out many times in his career. Linz is a pretty good fighter. I can't call him a prospect, Cole, because he's 34. You know, to UFC fans, he might be a prospect because they don't know him. It's hard to call him a prospect, though. I mean, this is a guy who's been around for a while. He was in Bellator for years. He was in PFL. He won their tournament. The one thing that worries me is the layoff, local. I mean, he hasn't fought in a year and a half. That definitely concerns me here, and it makes me kind of want to stay away. It's also a heavyweight fight. Got to keep that in mind. Arlovsky's fought way better competition. He's far more experienced. He's been more active. So there's actually some things going in favor of Andre here, but the chin, I can't trust it, Cole. I can't pick Andre Arlovsky in any fight. I fade him every fight. And there has been fights where he's surprising, like the Ben Rothwell fight last year. He looked good in that fight, and he won that fight. So it was good for him. But I fade him every fight, Cole. I cannot pick Andre Arlovsky. I can't do it. So my pick to me, Philip Linz. I do think he probably gets the knockout here, but this is the kind of fight where it's kind of like a landmine, man, because if you're just going to blindly throw Linz in your parlay, I'd be careful because it's heavyweight, and Andre Arlovsky does have KO power, and he does have experience. He could win a decision here if Linz gets tired, which is possible. You know, it's a guy, Cole, again, long layoff. You know, we saw, look at Cruz the other night. Cruz looked really tired, you know. That could happen here to Linz, especially at heavyweight. Could be 5 minutes into the fight. This guy could be gassed out, and Arlovsky just pick him apart. I really have no idea how he's going to look after such a long layoff. But at the same time, you got to pick Philip Linz. You just can't pick Andre Arlovsky, not at this point in his career. I mean, if he loses this fight, he could finally get cut. Although, I feel like they're going to keep him on the roster just because they don't want Bellator to get him, Cole. Because if he goes to Bellator, there's so many, like, Fedor 2 and there's other fights you can do, Rampage versus Arlovsky. Like, I think the UFC will keep him around for a while. He's in a good spot in his career, just based on his name value, even though he's not really winning fights. Okay, so that's it for the prelims. Let's go to the main card now. First fight on the main card, Carl Robertson against Marvin Vettori. I did mention already, Robertson missed weight, came in at 187.5, so 1.5 or 2.5 pounds, I guess, if you're not including an extra pound. But did miss weight, Cole. Don't know how much it's going to factor in the fight. Anyways, the odds, minus 175, Vettori, Robertson plus 155. Give me your pick.
Yeah, I'm really high on Marvin Vettori. I think he should get it done. I still think there's value even at minus 175. I think he should be around minus 200 in this one. I just think Vettori's the better fighter all around. Ground, striking, he's a lot better, and he has the cardio. Carl Robson's last two wins were a split against Wellington Terman and a submission over Roman Kopylov. Those aren't really high-level fighters. Like Marvin Vettori, he's fought some okay guys. He has a split against Israel Adesanya. He beat Cesar Ferreira, beat Andrew Sanchez. He's a guy that I think if he gets this one, he's going to get a ranked guy. He comes from a good camp. I don't think Marvin Vettori will be able to finish Carl Robertson. Robertson's a tough guy. I just think Marvin Vettori will be able to pick him apart on the feet and earn a decision win.
Yeah, I do like Vettori here too. Robertson's decent for sure. Looked good in his last fight. That was a crazy fight, by the way. He got like poked in the eye really badly and came back and won the fight by rear naked choke in the third round. So it was an impressive win. Overall, in the UFC, has a winning record, 4-2. So he's been solid. But Vettori, I really like this guy, Cole. I know that you've talked to him a few times, and you know, I think he's got a lot of potential, man. You got to look back at that Israel fight from 2 years ago, Cole. He was close to being Israel. It was a split decision. It was a close fight, you know. So this is a guy who can be competitive with really good fighters because he was competitive with Israel. Just imagine how much, like, the history of this division would have changed, Cole, had he got that split decision in his favor. Like, it'd be a completely different title picture right now. So it's crazy. Anyways, I've been impressed with this guy. I mean, he's also 4-2. They have the same record. Or I guess he's 4-2-1. He's the draw. But it's essentially the same record. But Vettori, I just think he's a little bit more solid, man. I think overall, just a little bit better of an MMA fighter. Robertson, you know, he comes from that striking background and glory, obviously, but he's developed into a pretty good fighter in the ground, too. I just think Vettori is going to be able to kind of keep the fire he wants. He wants to take him to the ground, I think he'll be able to wrestle him. And if he wants to keep it standing, he'll be able to stand. Vettori's really tough, great chin. I don't think Robertson's going to knock him out, so I feel like Vettori's going to win this fight, Cole. Give me Vettori by decision. I like him quite a bit here, I'll be honest. Like, I do think he wins this fight, and he's one of the guys I do like on this card. All right, next up, we got a bantamweight belt between Ray Borg and Ricky Simon. Ray Borg has made weight, 135.5. Simone's still weighing to get in the scale. Hopefully he makes
it. No, he did weigh in.
He weighed in just now? Yeah. Okay, cool. So, and he made weight, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's only a few guys left right now.
Just Anthony Smith and Hernandez.
And Chase Sherman, too, right?
No, Sherman just weighed in, too. I was just on Twitter. Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. Okay, so not much is going to change. And Smith could miss weight, I guess, or Hernandez. We'll talk about those guys in a second. Anyways, as far as this fight goes, yeah, Borg and Simone both made weight. Good stuff. Borg obviously moving up to 135. You got to mention that. Ricky Simon -170, Ray Borg +150. Give me your breakdown, Cole.
Yep, kind of surprised at the odds. I thought they would be a lot closer just because of how Ricky Simon's last two fights went. The quick knockout loss to Uriah Faber, which both of us did not see coming at all. And then the decision loss to Rob Font. We both picked Font in that one. Font's just a tough guy. That was a really close fight. Simon had moments in that fight. Ray Borg's two straight wins, Rogério Pontero and Gabriel Silva. He's a guy that it's always hard to call his fights. You never know what Ray Borg's going to show up. He's either, we obviously know how good Ray Borg is. He became a flyweight title challenger for a reason, but sometimes he just has those fights where he just gets out wrestled or gets just picked apart. This is really interesting. I'm picking Ricky Simon by decision. I just think on the feet, he can have success, but I would not be surprised if Ray Borg can just take Ricky Simon down, kind of hold him there and just get a really lackluster decision win. I think Simone can defend the takedowns enough where he can get, or he can get back up. So I like Ricky Simone by decision, but that's not a confident pick at all.
Yeah, I favor Simone slightly, but I'm with you, man. It's a close fight. He hasn't looked that good lately, obviously, coming off that loss to Rob Font. Didn't look good in that fight. The favorite fight got knocked out. But, you know, before that, he looked pretty impressive in his fights. I think the Yaya win was solid. Montel Jackson, he had a good win there, dominant win. The Mirab fight had some controversy, obviously, did win that fight. But, you know, Borg is a guy that's been around for a while. He's coming off a couple wins himself, so he's looked good. But, again, you know, a guy that's fought, had most of his success at 125. At 135, I don't know how effective he's going to be, just because I don't think his wrestling is going to be as effective as it was at 125. He doesn't have that size advantage over these guys. But, you know, if Borg, like, grabs him and takes him down, he can win this fight. So it's a close fight. I just feel like Ricky Simone's going to be able to sprawl and brawl his way to win here, Cole. I don't see a finish in this fight. I think it's going the full three rounds. I don't see a finish between these two guys. They're mostly guys that go the distance. So, you know, taking a look at that prop, fight goes the distance, is -285. But I feel like that's the way it's going to go. But, yeah, I do like Simone here to win a decision, Cole. Not a highly confident pick just because he hasn't looked good lately. But, you know, matchup-wise, stylistically-wise, he should be able to stuff the takedowns of Borg. And striking-wise, I think Simone's a little bit sharper and a little bit more technical and a little bit more volume on the feet. So give me Ricky Simone by decision in this fight. And so far we've agreed on everything, but there's the last couple fights here we could disagree on. So let's get to them. First up, Alexander Hernandez against Drew Dober in the lightweight bout. And Hernandez is one of those guys that we're still waiting to see if he makes weight. Hopefully he does. We've got 28 minutes left, so hopefully he makes weight here, Cole. As far as the odds for this fight go, it's very close. Dober -125. Hernandez +105. Give me your pick, Cole.
Yeah, this is a really interesting fight. I'm going with the underdog and Alexander Hernandez. I just think he's the better fighter. I think people have just written him off too soon. So obviously, he beat Ronaldo. That was a very lackluster win. And then before that, he got really just beat down by Cerrone. But before that, like that dominant win over OAM, then he knocked out Benil Dariush. He obviously has a lot of power. I think his debut kind of put him in too high of expectations for him, like that quick knockout Dariush. As for Dober, he's obviously coming off that really nice win over Nazad Hackbrass at 246. We didn't see that coming. He obviously has a ton of knock power before that. He knocked out Polo Reyes. But he's been susceptible to the ground where he's been taken down the walk by Benil Dariush and Ovan Mercier. I kind of think that's Hernandez's path. I think he's going to use his wrestling. I don't think he's going to stand with Drew Dober. And I think on the ground, I think Hernandez is the much better ground fighter. If it stays standing, I think Hernandez can use kind of a kickboxing thing, just outpoint Dober. I think it's going to be a decision win. I think Hernandez is going to get it.
You know, once again, me and Cole won't talk about these fights beforehand, but I'm going to agree with you on this one too, Cole. I think Hernandez should be favored to win this fight. I'm a little surprised he's the underdog. I know Dober's looked pretty good lately, but this is a guy who's had a lot of losses in his career. So to me, it's a little surprising that Hernandez, who's lost to Cerrone only in the UFC and then he had a loss to Emers, is actually the underdog here. I mean, Drew Dober, he's been hot, man. He's looked good. Don't get me wrong. The win over Hackbrass was great. You know, he looked great in that fight. Nice knockout. But, you know, this is a guy that, if you look at the other wins, Cole, none of those guys are in the UFC anymore. Polo Reyes, John Tuck, Frank Camacho, I think Camacho might be, but Berkman, Jason Gonzalez. These are not guys in the UFC. So he's beating, like, subpar fighters, in my opinion. Hernandez, coming off a win over Ronaldo. It was controversial, but he got the win. Knocked out Dariush. He had that win over Aubin Mercier. Dober's fought Aubin Mercier, and MMA math doesn't work. But, you know, Hernandez got the win, and Dober doesn't. As far as the matchup goes, you know, Dober, he's got a good chin. His stand-up's improved lately. He's got knockout power, obviously. So if the fight stays standing, he's got a chance. But I do think Hernandez can still beat him on the feet, Cole. I think he can out-volume and just be more technical, like the Ronaldo fight, just kind of like move around and, you know, strike the guy. But if the fight goes to the ground, it's a big advantage for Hernandez. You know, Dober's a guy that does not have good submission defense. Hernandez can catch him in a choke, guillotine rear naked, and I think Dober would tap out pretty fast because we've seen in the past that he taps out pretty quick. So I like Hernandez here, man. Plus 105. You got to take a shot on him because he should be the favorite, in my opinion. I'm a little surprised by these odds, Cole. A lot of respect for Dober just based on the last couple wins, I guess. But I'm not seeing it. I think Hernandez wins this fight. Give me Alexander Hernandez to win a decision. Dober's tough, but he could get finished, I guess. Anyways, co-main event time, Cole. Last two fights here. OSP against Ben Rothwell. OSP weighed in at 240.5 this morning. Rothwell weighed in at, what do you weigh, 265, I guess?
Yeah, I'll check it quick.
I'm going to check that. Odds of this fight are minus 140 for OSP and plus 120 for Ben Rothwell. It's a heavyweight fight. It's a really weird matchup. Surprised UFC put this together, but what's the weight, Cole?
265.
Yeah, so there you go. I was right. So 265 for Ben and 240.5 for OSP. Heavyweight fight, Cole. Really weird. I think Rothwell was supposed to fight John Volante first, and then he got OSP instead. So I don't know why they're matching up these light heavyweights, but anyways, give me your pick, Cole.
Yeah, this is a really weird fight. Ben Rothwell is obviously going to be a huge. He's going to be a lot bigger, though. Like, he cuts down to 265. I think he's going to have a 30-40-pound weight advantage when they step in there. OSP probably ate a full breakfast and everything before he weighed in. Like, he was probably full when he went down there. But I'm still picking OSP. I just think he's going to be the faster fighter. I think he can move, stick and move really well. I just think he can pick apart Ben Rothwell on the feet. I think he can be fast enough where he can move his. We can move enough and avoid the power shot that Ben Rothwell, because Rothwell does have knockout power. But and then I think OSP is going to look to take the fight down to the ground. On the ground, I think he's going to have a lot of success against Ben Rothwell. I don't know if they'll be able to submit Ben Rothwell. I just think OSP is the better fighter all around. I think on the feet, he's going to be faster. He's going to lack the power, but I still think he's going to be able to piece up Rothwell and earn a decision win.
Man, this fight is so weird. I just have a hard time kind of breaking it down because we have no idea how OSP is going to look at heavyweight. You'd assume he's the faster guy, right? You'd assume he'd have a speed advantage. You'd assume that he could kind of stand the outside and pick apart Ben. Ben is, okay, first off, Ben is super durable, Cole. One of the best chins in the heavyweight division. Super experienced. Fought everyone there is. And he's huge. He's a big dude, man. He's one of the biggest heavyweights. So this is a weird matchup, man. I honestly have no idea. I would not bet on this fight, guys, because it can go either way. I'm going to slightly lean towards OSP, but it is not confident whatsoever. I just feel like the speed's going to be the difference here, and he's going to be able to win the decision. But, you know, the truth is most of his wins come by submission, and most of them are on the ground, right? So I don't think he can get Ben on the ground. I don't see that happening. He's going to have to stay on the outside and pick him apart for 3 rounds. And Ben's a guy that pushes forward the whole time. It's not an easy matchup. I'm just kind of looking at that Arlovski fight from last summer, Cole, where Arlovski was able to pick apart Ben and win the decision. That's kind of how I'm looking at this one. But Cole, would you be surprised if Ben landed a big bomb and knocked OSP out? No, OSP's been knocked out before. Ben's got huge power. Stay away from this fight, guys. My pick's OSP by decision, but it is not confident whatsoever. And I would not be surprised if Ben actually won this fight at all. Kenshiro, OSP will be healthier, faster, more technical, fresher, younger than Glover, who can beat Journeyman these days. I don't know, man. Yeah, he's healthier and faster. I agree with that. But first off, he's not that young, okay? He's 37. OSP is not a young guy. Ben's 38. OSP's 37. So I was surprised when I saw that when I was reading about him, Cole, last night. I was like, whoa, he got old quick. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Cole, this is a weird fight, man. These are the kind of fights that you should stay away from. It's just too much randomness. Short notice, different weight class. The weight is really weird to me. I don't know. I'm staying away from it. OSP is by decision, but not confident. Main event time, Anthony Smith against Glover Teixeira. Really like this fight. Supposed to be at UFC Nebraska. Got rebooked for this card. Glover made weight already. I think he was 205.5, so he's made weight. We're waiting for Anthony Smith. Any confirmation call, anything?
No, he still hasn't weighed in yet.
That's not good, I would say. I would not assume that's a good thing. So with Anthony – oh, wait, hold on. Kenshiro, I made a mistake. OSP was fighting Glover. Yeah, I think we saw that fight already. As far as this fight goes, Cole, you know, I'll talk about it in a second. I want to get your thoughts first. But the Anthony Smith – home invasion thing only happened a few weeks ago, and I wonder if that plays any factor in this, man, because that was a pretty nuts story, pretty crazy. It seemed like it really affected him mentally, so no idea how it's going to affect him in this fight, you know, but it's something to keep in mind anyways when you're betting on it. All right, so as far as the odds go, we got Anthony Smith favorite right now, minus 175. Glover Teixeira, one of my all-time favorites in the lightweight division, plus 155. Cole, give me your pick up for the UFC Jacksonville main event.
Yeah, this is a really interesting fight. They're both like very similar. They're both I think both of them have really underrated ground games where people don't give them the respect for their ground game. Like, Avery Smith submitted Alexander Gustin, and I don't think people gave him respect for that fight. If a lot of people are saying, oh, well, Gustin retired after, like, his head was in it. I just don't think Avery Smith has gotten the respect he deserves. And that's same with Glover. Like, Glover's on a 3-fight winning streak, and I think a lot of people have written him off long before that. It's definitely an interesting fight. On the feet, I think Glover has more power, but I think Anthony Smith's the more technical striker. I don't know if we're going to see it on the ground because they're both really dangerous on the ground. I think Anthony Smith is going to win by TKO, probably third, fourth round, I think, after he just hits Glover a couple of times. Glover's, like, he can land a big one and finish him up with ground pound or just finish him along the cage, similar to what he did to Shogun. I think Anthony Smith can earn a TKO win, but this is a really close fight, and I would not be surprised if Glover won.
Yeah, it's a great fight. I really like this matchup. Two of the best guys in the world. I mean, Smith has looked incredible at 205. This is a guy who was a journeyman for many years and a guy who never got much respect. You know, Cole, if you look at his early record, he was 5-6 in his first 11 fights. This is a guy with a losing record. And you have to wonder, like, was he ever considering just, like, retiring and saying, this isn't for me? You know, I'm glad he stuck around, man, because you look at him now, 33-14. He's got a lot of fights and a lot of wins. UFC-wise, he's been really impressive, especially at 205. 4-1, Cole, Gustafson, Uzdemir, Hua, and Evans, and he finished them all. That's impressive, man. He's looked good. The John Jones fight was not a great performance. I feel like he fought scared. Even said himself, actually. He said he, like, fought scared in that fight. Like, he, for whatever reason, gave Jones way too much respect. I mean, Jones is great. We all know that. But I think Smith could have did a little bit better in that fight. And obviously, with that illegal knee, the scorecards were actually a little bit wonky. So who knows what could have happened. Either way, I mean, he's been impressive. And the Gustafson win was really solid. I was surprised he won that fight, Cole. I gotta be honest. I thought Gus would win for sure, especially in Sweden. Smith submitted him late in the fight. So he's been impressive. He's got a good chin, good cardio. His durability is much better at 205. His striking's good. His ground game's good. So he's a solid, well-rounded fighter. And you can say the same thing about Glover. That's what makes this fight interesting. Glover's very well-rounded, very solid everywhere. Good striking. Good, great ground game. One of the best ground games, actually, at 205, Cole. Like, you say it's underrated. It is. But anyone, like, really knows the sport knows how good he is on the ground. He's fantastic on the ground. His last couple wins have been mostly on the ground. The Kudalaba fight, the Robertson fight, the Serkinov fight. The Krylov fight, he out-wrestled him, too. And that was a good win. I mean, Krylov's on a roll, and he won that fight. So he's on a nice 3-fight win streak right now. He's looked really good. You know, he's got some flaws in his game, though. Obviously, the chin. I mean, first off, he's 40 years old. You got to keep that in mind, Cole. 40. You know, Anthony's only 31, so that's a big age gap in Anthony's favor. Glover's also had, you know, a lot of fights in the UFC now and a lot of wear and tear, a lot of long fights with really high-level guys, which scares me. I just feel like Smith's going to be able to catch him and knock him out. That's kind of how I'm feeling here. Maybe wear him down, take him to the ground, ground and pound him to get the win here. But I got to favor Anthony Smith to win by TKO. But, I mean, honestly, Glover's great. So, especially with, like, now we're waiting for the weigh-ins and nothing's happened. I mean, I hope he makes weight. Hope he didn't drain himself to make the weight. Who knows, right? Like, especially with this whole, you know, coronavirus thing. And also, like I said, the home invasion. I never know how that played a factor in how he's feeling. But either way, my pick's going to be Anthony Smith by TKO, Cole, to win this fight in the main events. Interesting fight, though. I'm looking forward to it a lot. So I think that's it. We'll update you guys in the next 15 minutes or so if there's any news. Anything, Cole? See anything?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay. No worries. We'll just have to wait and see. Anyways, let's talk about – actually, I'll get a question here from Marcus. Marcus, what's up, man? Yeah, I'll take questions. If you guys have any, send them in. We're going to talk about UFC 249 in a second here. So he says, if you're managing Tony Ferguson, who would you advise him to fight next to get back in title contention? I'd love to see him fight Dustin Poirier. I think that'd be a great fight. What do you think about that one, Cole?
I was managing Ferguson. I'd tell him to take the rest of the year off. I don't think he fights again in 2020. I don't think he should. He took a lot of damage. I don't want to see him come back too soon and rush it and then get knocked out early. Like, we've seen that happen where people take a lot of damage, they come back soon, and then their chin's just not the same. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Ferguson again soon because he's just a weird guy that's going to fight. I personally wouldn't want to see him against Poirier. I'd want to see him a bit lower down, like maybe like a Paul Felder, maybe someone like that. Someone that you know he can beat for sure that I think can get him back in there. Because against Poirier, I don't know if he beats Poirier because Poirier is still one of the best lightweights. I'd like to see Ferguson take a step back, get a win, and then fight someone like Poirier or Gaethje or someone like Poirier Hooker up there in the top five.
Yeah. I mean, he lost to Gaethje, right? That was his first loss in 7 years. So to me, like, he's still one of the top guys. But he did get his ass kicked in this fight. There's no doubt about it. We should just talk about this card, Cole. I didn't have you on yesterday. You want us to talk about 249?
Yep.
Okay, we'll start with the main event. I mean, what else can we say? I praised the guy all day yesterday. Gaethje looked incredible, Cole. Like, I didn't expect that from him. Looked amazing, super technical. Now, the question is, I just wrote an article actually today for MMA Ratings. I assumed he was going to fight Khabib next, but now Conor's saying he wants to fight Gaethje. Maybe Gaethje takes that fight, takes a big money fight before he fights Khabib, because he's been calling out Conor for a long time. Maybe Conor's actually interested now, because this is Conor's kind of ticket to that title shot if he wants that rematch. Well, he beats Gaethje, gets the rematch to Khabib. Right now, he's not in line. It's Khabib. It's Gaethje next time for Khabib. So what do you think? Do you think he gets a fight with Conor this summer? I mean, Conor's saying July. You think Gaethje comes back, took no damage in this fight?
I think Gage is going to wait for Khabib, and I think Ali Abdul Aziz is going to be a big part of that, because
that's
a double payday for Ali. Is he really going to risk it to fight Conor?
He could, because that's a big fight, Cole. That's a bigger fight. Who sells more pay-per-views, Cole, Khabib or Conor?
Conor.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, we got to talk about these numbers. So the numbers came out for the pay-per-view buys, 700,000. Whoa! Didn't expect that, Cole. And we set the over-under at 350, I think, last week. Didn't expect 700. I mean, that's amazing. Great for the UFC. For the fighters, I don't know, because salaries came out. Did you see John Nash's tweet?
I don't think so.
Okay, so John Nash is a writer for Bloody Elbow, I think. And anyways, he's really good with numbers. He's a lawyer, if I'm not mistaken. Really good follow too. But anyways, the point is, he posted the numbers yesterday. He said the UFC took in $40 million from like all the pay per view money and the ESPN money, and only paid up $5 million. So the UFC made a massive profit from this event, Cole, which is great for them. But I really hope they paid the fighters more than the salaries that were disclosed. The salaries came out yesterday, and you know, Tony made $500, Justin made $350, but you also have guys like Jorgen De Castro making $12,000. That's just not right, man. So well, hopefully these guys got paid a little bit under the table, I would hope, but who knows? Anyways, I want to talk about the fights themselves, because you know, money wise, I mean, we could sit all day talking about money. Anyway, so for Gaethje, you want Khabib? It makes sense to me. I'm fine with that. But again, I'm fine with him fighting McGregor too. I think it'd be a great fight. Like, stylistically, that's a fun fight. That's a great fight. For Ferguson, yeah, I mean, it was a bad loss, Cole. You think the weight cut played a role? Dana's saying that. What do you think? Double weight cut, 2 weeks?
I definitely don't think it was the smartest thing. Like, if I was in Tony Ferguson's camp, I wouldn't have told him to do it. I don't, especially when you're fighting. I get it if you didn't have a fight, like if they just said, all right, we're suspended until July. Then I get if he does it just so he can, like, still be in his routine, then you bulk back up or whatever. But when you're fighting 3 weeks later, I don't know why you would do that.
That fight was not booked when he made that weight cut. It wasn't even booked. It came out, like, the next day. He didn't have the fight Gaethje officially booked for May 9th when he was cutting the weight. It came out a few days later. So, I mean, I'm sure he was talking to his manager about it. Anyways, you're right. It wasn't a good idea. I mean, I think we could say that now. You got to give Gaethje credit, though, right? Like, you got it. You know, because he looked great in this fight. But I feel like Tony looked off in this fight, Cole. Don't know if it was the weight cut, just the long camp. He said it was a long camp. He's been training for Khabib for like, what, 6 months? And they switched to a striker. So I think that had a lot to play with it. But at the end of the day, Gaethje just outstruck him, Cole. I mean, that's exactly what happened. So he looked great. Let's take some questions here. You can see Tony could be anyone if he stopped doing harm himself. Woke up claiming double weight cuts didn't factor in loss. Says double weight cut played a big factor. Yeah, I think it played a factor, but again, you know, you got to give Gaethje the credit here. Either way, Cole, I mean, great fight, you know, good stoppage. What do you think of the stoppage? You okay with it?
Yeah, I was. He took a lot of damage.
When you get hit with a jab and you react like that, fight's over, you know. So I saw some people complaining, saying, you know, let the guy. There's some weird, like, you know, line of thinking lately that's like, if the fight's close to being like, if there's like a minute left or something in the fight, you gotta just let the guy fight it out. Why? I mean, he was losing the fight every round. He was losing. The judges actually scored that round. It's weird how they scored the round where it didn't finish, but they had it like 10-7 for Gaethje, so he had no chance to win the fight. Went to the scorecards, well, he would have lost 50-43 or something. Like, he had no chance to win the fight. So to me, the referee saved him from taking a little bit more damage, but I think the fight could have been stopped even sooner, to be honest with you. Like, he got his butt kicked. So, you know, love Tony, but man, just not a good performance. Henry beating Dominic in the co-main event. Few things to unpack from this fight. Obviously, Henry looked great. What do you think of the stoppage in this one?
I was fine with the stoppage. I thought it was a lot of follow-up shots. It was like 11 or 12 follow-up shots on the ground. I don't think Cruz really did much to defend himself. I have no problem with the stoppage. And people saying like, oh, there's 2 seconds left, you have to get it. That doesn't play a factor. It doesn't matter if that happened 10 seconds into the round or 10 seconds left in the round like it did. Like, the ref's job is stop the fight when the fighter can no longer defend themselves, and Cruz is not defending himself.
Agreed 100%. I mean, I talked about this with a few guys yesterday in the chat room. I think I was the only one who said I was okay with the stoppage. A lot of people disagree with it. Fair enough. I mean, to me, it wasn't the best stoppage ever, Cole, but it was far from the worst. Now we got to talk about the Cruz side of things, because Cruz, after the fight, came out and made some really like bad, was poor sportsmanship comments towards Keith Peterson and also to Cejudo. He acted like a crybaby. And, you know, he said Keith Peterson smelled like alcohol and cigarettes. And I saw Eric Nishek, who I think is Nagano's coach, he was saying that, you know, everyone knows that Keith Peterson smokes cigarettes. That's not a surprise. For him to accuse the guy of being drunk, basically, like, that is, it's really low. I even saw John Anik come out today, and or last night, I think it was. John Anik, who's Cruz's, like, desk buddy at the UFC commentary booth, he said, you know, Dominic's my good friend, but, like, I really don't agree with the comments he made about Keith. Keith's a great referee. I think Keith Peterson's one of the best referees in the business, Cole. So for, you know, him to, for Cruz to say that, I was actually pretty disgusted. What do you think?
Yeah, I didn't like it. And, like, even if he smelled like cigarettes, like, is it really that big of a deal if he's smoking a cigarette? Like, it's not like you're smoking weed. It's not like you're hammered. Like, it doesn't really influence you at all. Like, he could have smoked it at, like, 9 a.m. that morning, and he just still, like, smelt like it. Like, and no other fighter came out and agreed with Cruz that said, oh, yeah, I thought he smelled like cigarettes in my fight. Like, he's the only one, and it just happened to be the one where he was mad at Peterson for it. So I think it would have been a more valued claim if a fighter that even won or just even lost a good decision had Peterson goes like, yeah, I smelled cigarettes and booze on him too.
Then yeah, no one else scored.
Then you have a problem. No one agreed that. And you think that, and it's not like Peterson just only refs that fight. Like, he's doing stuff. Like he's still around the octagon even when he's not refing. Like, he's checking the fighters. You think all those commissioners or all those cornermen would have said something when he's around so many fighters?
I'm with you, man. Like, first of all, I don't smoke cigarettes, but, you know, if a guy smokes a cigarette, I don't think it's going to really affect his job. If he was drinking, yeah, that's a different story. You're not obviously allowed to drink in the job. So if he was drinking, that's bad, and he should lose his job, but I don't think he was. I just think Cruz is being just a crybaby, to be honest with you, Cole. Really sore loser, super unprofessional, I think. You know, Cruz is a guy that obviously he's known for his professionalism. For him to do this, Cole, was embarrassing. He embarrassed himself, to be honest with you. So, you know, I haven't really seen anyone come out in support of Cruz after this. Everyone's been kind of upset with him with the comments because Keith Pearson's a universally respected referee. He's one of the best in the business, you know. You know, I've watched with my girlfriend. She's like, oh, the guy with the tattoos in his neck, he's such a good ref. I was like, yeah, he's one of the best. And this is the guy that's accused of being drunk. I mean, he smells like, he said, I smell like cigarettes and alcohol. When you say someone smells like alcohol, you mean they're drunk, Cole. So, you know, I didn't like the comments. Cruz is saying now he'll fight again. I don't even have any interest in watching this guy fight. He looked terrible, by the way, in this fight, Cole. 5 minutes in, he was gassed. He was gassed out, dude. You know, and not surprising, 3.5 year layoff. I know he's probably the best man weight of all time. You know, definitely can make that claim. 35 now, hasn't fought in 3.5 years, Cole. Gifted a title shot. I just don't care about watching Cruz fight anymore. What do you think? I'd rather see him do commentary, but honestly, I don't really love him as a commentary either. I think maybe coaching is what he should be doing. I really have no idea, but, you know, he made good money. He made $300,000 to show. So you can see why he wants to fight. I just wasn't impressed. What do you think, Cole?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a thing where I don't think he looked that good. He's been with someone that says, oh, ring rust isn't a real thing. I think it proved as a real thing because he did not look like his usual self. Like, he looked slow on his feet. Like, his movement wasn't that good. Like, normally he's so fast, like, he just sticks and moves and lays a jab, then he moves to the side and people throw a jab and he's on the completely different side. This one, Cejudo just like attacking his legs. He couldn't get his legs out of the way for leg kicks. He couldn't back up punches. Like, he was just off. Like, he was always a second or two behind what Cejudo was doing.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. So I wasn't impressed. Anyways, as far as Henry goes, and he looked great, I got to admit, I was surprised when he retired. You know, it's not like 100% official. Dana said that, you know, we're going to talk to him and see if he changes his mind. I could see him just being like, you know, it was a heat of the moment, and I want to fight again now if they pay him more, because basically what, you know, Consuelo was saying here, Henry telling Dana we come back for $5 million. I had a zero to his usual $500K. You got $350K plus whatever bonuses, so pay-per-view bonus probably. I don't think he made $1 million. Maybe he made $1 million after the under table money, Cole, but I don't know. He should be getting paid $1 million. He's one of the best in the world. GSP came out yesterday. They were asking him who you think is the greatest pound-for-pound fighters are, Cole. I don't know if you saw that list. It was like John Jones, Anderson Silva, BJ Penn, Royce Gracie, and then he also said Henry Cejudo. He's like, Cejudo's one of the best guys. So GSP loves this guy. You know, GSP is probably the best ever. So, you know, for GSP to come out and say that, it's true. He has looked great. He's looked amazing lately. I don't think this is going to be a a long retirement call. I think he fights again, man. I'll be honest. What do you think?
Well, just before that, Anthony Smith just weighed in. He made weight.
Oh, good. Okay, he made weight. What do you think?
205.
Oh, okay, so he made championship weight. Good for him. What were you going to say?
Yeah, with Cejudo, when he announced it, I'm like, he's not, this isn't for real. And then I was talking to a lot of people, like, Sunday and Monday. And what everyone was kind of saying, even people in his camp said, this is a guy that's been talking about retirement in the gym for, like, months on months now. Like, he's someone that walked away from wrestling at 21 years old when he was the reigning Olympic gold medalist. Like, he could have went back and defended his gold medal, and he just left at 21 because he was tired of the sport and burnt out. I think kind of the same thing happened with MMA. He's been cutting weight for so long. He's been focused on combat sports for so long. He's someone that wants to end on top, and I think he kind of sees where he could lose to, like, a Peter Yan, Aljamain Sterling, and I don't think he can deal with that loss. And I think he's a guy that wants to be considered the greatest, and to be the greatest, you have to end on top. So I, after talking to a lot of people, even people in his camp, I'm not surprised to see him retire, and I honestly wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him again.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, now we got Sterling calling out Yan. Dana says Yan's getting the next title shot, so he's going to fight someone, which is good. I mean, I've been saying Yan should be fighting for the belt already, so that's good to hear. It could be a four-man tournament. Who knows? But, you know, again, I could see Henry just changing his mind for more money, and they could maybe rebook the Aldo fight. That's a pretty big fight for him. You know, he wants to fight Volkanovski. I don't think that's going to happen. Kenshiro Rodoji, UFC 249 sold 700K pay-per-views. The champions get points. We really have no idea, Kenshiro. You know, they don't release that kind of information. I don't know what changed between the old deal with the pay-per-view companies and the new one with ESPN Plus. You'd assume that the fighters get some sort of points. But the problem with the sport is the fighters, they don't have an association, they don't have a union. So they, whatever the contract the UFC and their manager negotiates, that's what they get. There's no extra money. Hopefully these guys, the champions and whoever fought in the main event and the co-main event, got some pay-per-view points, Cole, but I can't answer your question for sure.
And Hernandez just made 155. So there you go. Everyone's so, weighed in now.
Carl Robertson's the only guy who missed weight. So none of my picks change. All right, just a couple more fights here to talk about, Cole. Nagano Rosenstruck. Nagano's got a fight from the night. First off, okay, let's talk about the knockout. I mean, holy crap. Like, Jesus. That was scary, man. This guy is a freak of nature, dude. He's so awesome. You gotta love him, man. Four straight knockout losses. Look at his career, Cole. 8 first-round wins in the UFC. I mean, this guy is something special, man. And Jairzinho's solid, man. Jairzinho's a solid fighter, and he goes and gets KO'd in 20 seconds. So Nagano's got to fight for the belt next. Is it going to be against Stipe? Is it going to be against DC? I don't know, but he's got to fight for the belt next, right?
Yeah, and did you see the video Brett Okamoto tweeted of Ngannou's coach sent to him? It was Ngannou and Rosenstruck were about to walk out, and they saw each other like before they entered the octagon, and they both just stopped and stared at each other, and it was kind of like a first one to move. Like, neither of them moved, just like stared.
Oh, wait, really? That's awesome.
It was pretty scary. Like, if I was in that, I'd be scared. If I was
staring at You saw that video of him standing there? Or?
Yeah, it's Brett Okamoto tweeted it. It's
I'll check it out.
But yeah, what a knockout. Like, he has to fight for the belt. Like, I honestly was going into that fight thinking this is not gonna be a good fight. They're both counter strikers. Rosenstruck's is gonna kick. I didn't think it was gonna be a good fight. I thought if there's gonna be a finish, it's gonna be late. I did not expect that. That was when Ngannou gets downhill running at him. Like, that is a scary sight, and Rosenstruck just didn't get out of the way, and I did not, like, that just blew my mind. The knockout, and Ngannou has to be fighting the belt. He's a totally different fighter since he fought Stipe and Derek Lewis.
Yeah, I see it now, Cole. It's, I mean, two scary dudes. Wow. Anyways, yeah, he's got to fight for the belt next. You know, it's such a weird position right now for Stipe and the UFC, because he's doing the Lord's work, man, in Ohio. I don't want to see the guy stripped. I'd rather see an interim belt created than stripping Steve. I don't think that's fair, Cole, honestly. Just due to the circumstance. He can't train properly. I know other guys are training, but you know, it'd be a bad look for the UFC. Not that they care, but I don't think they should strip the guy. So I'd rather see Steve, you know, to be honest, Cole, I don't care about the trilogy fight that much right now. I'd rather see a rematch with Nagano. I think that's a little bit more interesting. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you kind of have to, just because of who DC is and how much the UFC like him. I think he's going to get it, but I think I personally wouldn't want it, just because if DC wins, then he walks away from the title, and then what do you do? Who do you put Ngannou against? So you're going to give Stipe another shot coming off a loss when the UFC's already had problems with Stipe, and Ngannou just beat Rosenstruck? Are you going to do Blades and Ngannou 3? Like, if DC wins and retires, it kind of messes up the whole heavyweight division.
Yeah. They'll just do a vacant title fight against, with someone. Against your, didn't bet on the Garner Royal. No, I didn't either, but I saw that the – okay, first off, I saw an article. The sports books did more handle for UFC 249, I think, than any other event UFC's ever did, which is crazy, but there's nothing else to bet on. But apparently 90% of the bets for the card were tied in Nagano, which is obviously a loss for the books. However, it said that like 70% of the parlays also had Ferguson in it, so the books did okay there. So they did okay. Let's get to some questions here. Marcus, what's up, Marcus? Suhudo will never be considered GOAT team until he has some title defenses against ranked opponents. GSP avenged loss against Matt Serra and Rackham wins. Suhudo didn't avenge. Maybe his loss. I agree 100% with you, man, for sure. He's not on my top of the panelist, but he is on GSP. So the guy's solid. What he did is amazing, but I'm with you. I mean, like, he has defended the belt, to be fair. He did defend his titles. He defended the flyweight against Dillashaw, and he defended the bantamweight, obviously, against Cruz. So he has defended the belts, but I agree. Only one defense in each division. I mean, GSP has, like, what, 12 defenses? Anderson has a bunch. I mean, these guys have – John Jones has a bunch. John Jones is the best ever, in my opinion. But, Marcus, what heavyweight do you think – heavyweight fight do you think makes more sense here? UFC, Francis, DC, DC, Stipe 3, or Francis, Stipe 2? I'd like to see Francis, Stipe 2. I think Francis can be more competitive than the first time. Stipe looked great that time, but I think Francis can be competitive. But, you know, any of those fights are okay. Can throw $1,200 stimulus checks, free money for betting. Well, I don't think that's what the government wants you to use it for, but, I mean, if you use it for that, whatever. It's your money, you know? Anyways, let's just quickly get to a few other fights, Cole, then we'll get out of here. Just the Calvin Kattar looked amazing. I mean, what an elbow. Nasty knockout. What's next for him, Cole?
Yeah, I think he has to get a top five guy. Like, Yair Rodriguez, I think that makes a lot of sense. That'd be a really exciting fight. That could headline a fight night card, and that would be a fantastic fight. But he's a guy that I think if that's a beat fight with five rounds, I think he wins. Like, he won the last half of the second round and the entire third round.
Yeah. He won that. He should have won that fight. It was five, but it wasn't. So, you know, Zabit got kind of lucky there, if you ask me. Zabit's solid. All right, what else here? There's a few other fights. Like, not really a lot worth talking about. Vicente Luque and Price. What a sick fight that was. Love that fight. By the way, Luque made bank, 180K. So he did well. Price only made 57. He lost, obviously, but you'd hope that UFC gives him some sort of locker room bonus. Like to see Luque against Jeff Neal next. That's Marcus's boy, Jeff Neal. I'd love to see that fight, Marcus. And for Luque, you know, I saw that Marcel on Twitter suggested Mike Perry. That'd be a great fight too. So I think you got two exciting fights right there. I mean, honestly, Cole, you can match up Luque and Price against anyone in the welterweight division. It's going to be an exciting fight. I love Luque. I know you do too. And just other people that won on the card. Greg Hardy picked up the decision. Pettis. Olenek with the surprising win. Esparza, me and Cole thought she lost, but she ended up being the win. Mitchell got the win, good performance. Then Ryan Spann got kind of lucky there, surviving that last round. I mean, his cardio did not look good, Cole. Imagine Sam won that fight by knockout with like 10 seconds. I know you were like loving it because you're a big Sam Alvey guy, but he ended up losing. What were you going to say?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Did you see the rankings got updated too?
I didn't see that.
Good. Okay, so listen to this. Dominic Cruz is now ranked 12th at bantamweight with a loss. Fabricio Werdum is now ranked 15th at heavyweight.
Hate that. He should have been in there in the first place.
You have Ryan Spann ranked 14th at light heavyweight now.
Shogun, really? Wow. I mean, Shogun's been fighting top guys forever.
Yeah.
Anyways, the rankings.
And then Donald Cerrone went down six spots at lightweight for a welterweight fight, which I don't know. I don't – the rankings to me, I don't know how they do them or how they decide what happens, but I just – they make no sense to me.
Yeah, they're trash. Like, Cerrone's ranked below Barboza, who he destroyed. You know, it's kind of weird, right? I don't get it. Anyways, that's it for today's podcast, Cole. That's an hour. So plug your stuff and we'll get out of here. Go ahead.
Yeah, Twitter, @ColeShot91. This week I have interviews with Edson Barboza, talked to him for his featherweight debut, Dan Ige, Eric Anders. And then fighter picks for both the main events. And other than that, everything's always on my Twitter.
You guys can follow me on Twitter @MMAdamMartin. And this week, EJPen.com, all the news, MMAOddsBreaker.com. We've got a lot of content up there, guys. Preview show for this podcast, obviously. Written preview for the main event when we posted today. MMA Rays on that. Got an article about who get Justin Gaethje to fight next as well. This is going to be a crazy week. Me and Cole are going to be back Thursday to recap tomorrow night's card. And also preview UFC Florida, which is the Saturday card. Last question here. Bucky Betts, what's up, fellas? I was late again and missed the live show. It's all good, man. Go back and watch the replay. Thanks, guys, for tuning in today. I'll be back with Cole on Thursday. Have a great day. Enjoy UFC Jacksonville. Bye.